Call the meeting to order.
Kathy, you want to read the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Derek Anderson.
Here.
April Dingo.
Here.
Andrew Brockway.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Michael Hagedorn.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Ed Marin.
Here.
Debbie Passino.
Here.
Pauline Stone. Bradley Check.
Here.
Okay. Approval of the agenda. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda. Need a motion? April?
Second.
Kathy?
Sure.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We have some presentations this evening. First being picture.
Yes.
Explain to me, Dave.
It'll be much easier to explain this if we move down.
Okay.
We have three or four things we want to show you on the big screens.
Chorus.
a while back when I was showing around Dr. Davey, who's our district superintendent from Champlain Valley Educational Services, and just popped in the room. And they were preparing for the Christmas concert, and I was floored with what she was doing with our students. So this is a grant proposal to the New York State Lottery, and you had to have some students sing the song, "Thank You for Being a Friend." And this is what Principal Campbell told me about the other day. I've been playing it, Joanne and I have been playing it in the office quite frequently. And I also like the guy in the middle. You see the guy in the middle? I see a couple of siblings, or daughters and sons, of some of you. Yeah, that
talking about since the first time I met everybody is how we need to have our students understand the path that they're going to take at Beacon Town and understand how they're going to utilize Beacon Town to have access to different industries or college career paths. So before we talk about that, I just want to thank a few of our principals here, Principal Palazzo, Principal Dixon, and Principal Frechette's not here tonight, but they took a group of students up to Mineville, again, to Mariah Central School District for our spelling bee. Now, we hadn't participated in the spelling bee in a few years because of budget cuts. And they took the initiative, and it's not easy work. There's all kinds of regulations and words, and it's all formatted in a certain way. And we took a bunch of students to Mariah Friday night, and they were there along with Ricky Tyre, Fred Bendis, and another one of our teachers to support our students who performed really, really well. So I really want to thank that. And we'll be hearing a little bit more about that tonight. Do we have any further to this class?
Good evening, everyone. Our next presentation is to present what started as an idea, as a building, only that a visual to inform students of what we had to offer them here in DHS at Pathway. From that, I provided the counseling department my thoughts, and it was really funny. It started out with me pulling them into my office with my whiteboard and drawing a highway and putting Common Core in the middle and then having all these little exits for different paths. What's amazing is that I gave them this visual and I told them what the expectations were, and they created this presentation that we're going to show you tonight. This presentation truly is about what our high school's new vision and model is and what we want to provide our kids. So if you have any questions once it's completed, we will all be up here to answer them. Ladies, Mrs. Beck, Mrs. Maggie, and Mrs.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. As you all know, the mission of Beacon Town Central School District is to ensure that each student here is college and career ready. And so what Mrs. Claude was just telling you in her office with us talking about, she was asking us, well, how do you communicate with students? What are the pathways and how do they see that? And although we had been talking to students about graduation requirements, we didn't have a visual for them or for the parents to see really that there are different pathways. And what do they need to do along that path to ensure their success for whatever their endeavor is when they leave Beacon Town as a graduate? So what we'd like to do is start off on one of the pathways for CV Tech. And we have underneath here that the student must first meet the entrance requirements for CV Tech. And although we've had some discussion about it and we meet with the students individually, we have developed a committee to review those requirements. We met as recently as this afternoon to ensure that students that are headed to CV Tech are ready for CV Tech and that they will be successful there. It might also be a good time, noteworthy, to tell you that last year we had 40 seniors attend CV Tech program, and of those 40, 39 were successful in receiving their certification from CV Tech. So we're very proud of that. It's obviously a very high percentage. So we feel that the students that are going there are ready and are being successful. But we will continue to review requirements to ensure that they're in the right program. So CV Tech has a preview. Just a few minutes that I wanted to share with you, a YouTube video that we share with the students. And I also want to tell you that we, when Mrs. Clavo asked us to do this, this is now what we're presenting to students in grades 8 through 11. So that they're not only seeing the graduation requirements, but they are also seeing the pathways that are available so they can start thinking about what path do I want to go on. And then the counselors meet with each student for what we call an annual review when they are selecting their courses for next year. And so we're able to meet individually with them, and obviously we have to do some tailoring because there are particular needs for each student that might differ amongst them. So here's the video from CD Tech that showed the students.
Yes, thank you, sir. Students enrolled at PAI will work on helicopters, propeller, and jet engines, including their Boeing 727 recently donated by FedEx.
In the environment,
go back.
There are basic chainsaw.
Welcome to City Tech's Plattsburgh campus, your center for career and technical education. The digital art and design program is designed to give students the opportunity to learn and practice skills in four areas of study: animation, architecture, web development, and video game design. Also, students may earn up to 27 college credits available through Clinton Community College.
The Construction Trades Program uses a hands-on approach to train students for employment in the construction industry. Students will have an introduction to carpentry, electrical, masonry, and plumbing skills.
The Electrical Design and Installation Program offers students the most current trade methods and technology, emphasizing the design, installation, and maintenance of residential and commercial electrical systems, including solar and wind energy. Welding students perform extensive hands-on work and learn welding techniques in MIG, TIG, shielded metal arc welding, pulse welding, plasma arc cutting, and oxyacetylene brazing and cutting. Students will be prepared to take a variety of welding certification tests. Auto collision repair students will repair and restore late model and classic vehicles from start to finish in a state-of-the-art repair facility featuring a downdraft spray bay booth. They will repair frames and minivan vehicles and learn custom painting and refinishing techniques. In the Automotive Technology Program, students learn to diagnose and service automotive electrical systems, drivelines, brakes, fuel injection systems, emission systems, steering, suspension, engines, and transmissions. In Small Engines and Marine Technology, students obtain the skills and knowledge needed to maintain and repair a variety of small engines. They work on snowmobiles, motorcycles, jet skis, and larger watercraft. The Heavy Equipment Diesel Mechanics course covers heavy equipment maintenance and repair. Students gain entry-level skills in the field of diesel technologies and repair for agricultural equipment and Class 6 to 8 highway vehicles. The Plattsburgh Aeronautical Institute and Aviation Tech Program will put you on the way to earning Federal Aviation Administration certification as an airframe and power plant technician. Students enrolled at PAI will work on helicopters, propeller, and jet engines, including their Boeing 727 recently donated by FedEx. In the Environmental Conservation and Forestry Program, learn basic chainsaw operation and precision tree felling at our out-of-doors minor institute worksite. Learn low-impact logging practices or experience heavy equipment operation during our annual timber harvest operation. In the Animal Science Veterinary Assisting Program, students gain the knowledge and skills that prepare them for a career or college. Students work with several species of animals to learn handling and restraint techniques, anatomy, and veterinary terminology. The Early Childhood Education Program gives students an overview of the physical, cognitive, social, and emotional characteristics and development of young children. Through academics and hands-on learning, students will develop lesson plans for our on-site preschool. Cosmetology students participate in the operation of a cosmetology clinic that offers an actual salon experience. Students master advanced cosmetology techniques and gain exposure to the dynamics of cosmetology through local and international style shows. The Culinary Arts and Hospitality and Resort Services Program teaches students the management and culinary skills needed for a career in the hospitality industry. Students follow the ProStar curriculum, which includes operating the City Tech Cafe and mentor worksite experiences. The Security and Law Enforcement Academy is a New York State authorized security guard training school and provides instruction in areas such as corrections, law enforcement, and homeland security. Work experiences include U.S. Customs and Border Protection and the Plattsburgh City Police. Medical Office Assisting. Students will learn medical office procedures and terminology and Microsoft Office software. Students participate in an off-site internship that will prepare them for a job in the medical field.
Enter the world of healthcare with the Allied Health Program. Prepare for a variety of healthcare occupations through lab practice, job shadowing, and clinical experiences. Our graduates work as certified nurse assistants, certified EKG technicians, and phlebotomy techs. New Patients Medical Careers Program is an academically rigorous one-year program for select college bound seniors planning to major in pre-med, chemistry, biology, or other health fields. Students shadow medical professionals while studying medical-based topics in the college and lab experience. In graphic design and communication,
students learn the basics of photography, layout and design, desktop publishing, and computer graphics while working in a team on practical projects such as holiday cards, booklets, and posters. Students will also become proficient in printing and binding operations. As you can see, CityTech offers a career training program that will interest almost everyone. Please contact your school's guidance counselor for more information on CityTech programs or visit www.cdes.org/cdtech.htm.
So in addition to showing them that, we also bring the sophomores who are actually taking a field trip on Thursday at CB Tech, sponsors for us. So students will be able to go and visit three programs at CB Tech that they might be interested in. And then come back and speak with the school counselor about which one they would like to register for. So I also give them an opportunity to meet the teachers and other students that are there. So what I mentioned before about telling the students the graduation requirements also within them are what's required for the pathway is to make sure that they have the foundation courses, not only graduation requirements, but what courses is gonna, are going to help them to ensure that they have the foundation ready for whatever endeavor it is that they choose to go into when they leave here. So in ninth grade for the CB Tech pathway, we're looking at taking algebra, earth science, English 9, global 9, a language other than English, first year, and physical education. In 10th grade, they would continue with the geometry, living environment, English 10, global 10, and phys ed. And please keep in mind, these are just the minimum that they need to take. There is room, and they have to take, just for credit purposes, elective courses that we'll talk about in a little bit later. So in grade 11, what's up there is Trig, English 11, U.S. History, Phys Ed, and then CB Tech, because it's here at home school half a day, CB Tech half a day. The Trig, each program at CB Tech, students will earn a CTE embedded credit of English, which counts as the fourth year of English for them. Not all of those programs carry math and science. So we would, for those students who don't have math in their embedded program, we would have them take TRIG. But also, depending on what their goal is, and where it's tailored, when they're meeting with them individually, we would encourage students to take a higher level math here at home school because their plans might change when they leave high school. And if their schedule and their ability allows for it, then they would be enrolled in TRIG. You see that there's no room for science, however, in their 12th grade year, they wouldn't be able to continue with the math at home school because of time constraints, but we would be able to put them in a lab science because it's not sequential. And then they would take their economics, government, phys ed, and again, go to CB Tech. Another pathway that they could choose is to go directly into the workforce or the military. So, let me just go back to that one second. One thing that was on there is that students are encouraged to take our global and careers program. As you know, that just started this year, and we have a lot more students that are interested in taking it next year, and then falls right into them receiving certification and training. So again, when they leave here, they're ready for the workforce, and they're qualified and very marketable. So they would, as far as grade 9 courses, it looks the same as it does for the CB Tech. And the 10th grade year also looks the same. The junior year, they would have to take that third year of math, That would be great because it's not embedded anywhere and it requires a minimum of 3 years. And also the science agenda, which would be we put in chemistry to demonstrate that. And then in grade 12, they would take English 12, economics, government, and phys ed. And again, they would have a lot more room in there for some elective courses that would pertain in particular to that student's needs. One of the other things that I want to mention as far as military is concerned is that today, it's a great thing to do this. We have a lot of stuff that we're talking about. Today we gave the ASVAB to all the 10th graders, and that's the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery. So students need to go into the military, will have to take an ASVAB that helps them determine which trade within the military they would be good at. We don't use it for that purpose, we use it as a tool to help students find an interest and an aptitude for a career. It's an awesome tool. It's the first time that we have given it to every 10th grader. It is administered through the military. They come and help proctor it and administer it, and then they will return to us to also interpret the scores for the students. So it's a great tool, and we were really happy that we were able to give it to all of them today. And then that brings us into the college pathway.
So the first pathway we have here is college, a two-year college or a technical school. Grade 9 is going to look exactly the same as if the student was going to CD Tech or into the workforce or military. Grade 10, again, will look the same. Grade 11, matching a student who's going into the workforce or military, they continue on with their math and science with a third credit. In grade 12, they would want to continue with their math and science because they're preparing for some additional education after high school. So choices at that point beyond trigonometry would be pre-calculus or statistics, and the science would then lead to either physics or other science electives that we offer. They would also have an additional choice besides the English 12. They would have the option to take the English composition, which is a new TAP course that we're offering next year. A student on a four-year college pathway, ROTC, or Military Academy, would have the same grade 9 courses. Grade 10, the only difference here would be they'd be continuing with their second year of a language other than English. And we should note, too, that in the past, of course, students always received that language, that first language credit in middle school. When we made this presentation, we geared it for our incoming eighth graders, so that's why you see the language 1 in ninth grade. Grade 11, they're continuing with their math and science, so they have trigonometry. But they have a choice, again, between the chemistry, the regular Regents chemistry course, or our general chemistry CAP course, which is also a new course we're offering next year. They would also take the AP U.S. history course, as opposed to the regular U.S. history course, that advanced placement course, preparing them for the higher level education that they'll receive. And the third year of a foreign language. In grade 12, depending on their math levels, they would either go into pre-calculus, AP Calculus AB, or statistics. Again, they would have some choices with the science, physics, AP Environmental Science, or General Biology, another new CAP course that we're offering next year. In the English department, they have a choice between AP Literature and Composition or the English Composition, and they would also continue with their fourth year of a foreign language. At the bottom there you see noted the New Vision Medical option. Students going on to a four-year college who are interested in the medical field, we would talk with them about the New Visions program, which we'll talk a little bit more about in the presentation later on. But we would introduce that to them and give them the option to apply to that program. we broke down the four-year college pathway for those students who were accelerated in middle school, because their pathway will look a little bit different as they go through high school. So at the end of grade 8, they've already achieved their algebra and their earth science credits. So grade 9, they're going on to geometry and living environment. By grade 10, they're already doing their trigonometry, their chemistry or general chemistry, of course continuing with their foreign language. Grade 11, depending again on math recommendations and their level at that time, they would go on to pre-calculus or AP Calculus AB. They would take their physics, the AP US History, third year of the foreign language. And then by grade 12, they have the option to continue on with the math in either AP Calculus BC or the statistics course. And again, they have a couple of options for the science in the English and continuing their fourth year of the language class.
So you saw all the different pathways that students can take depending on what their plans are post-high school. I'm going to go down the dock because as you're kind of running towards your pathway, there are lots of other things that you can take advantage of or some that you need to that's required by your state to teach you to have high school in order to graduate. So I'm going to go through those for you. The first one is the additional graduation requirements. The personal computer applications that have credit, that's a local requirement for us here at Beaconstown. We can evaluate the importance of learning those computer applications. The others that are up there are required by your state ed. So we have a half credit of health and 2 credits of physical education, and this basically means the student has to be enrolled every quarter for 4 years. And earn those 2 credits of phys ed. And then there's 1 credit of art or music that they have to take. These are some exciting programs that we offer. The first one is our Adirondack P-Tech, which I'm pretty excited about because it's a wonderful opportunity to go down to Brooklyn and visit the Brooklyn P-Tech program, and that just got me all kind of revved up about the fact that Beaconstown is one of the schools of offering P-Tech to their students next year. So this year our 8th graders get to apply to do this school within a school and take advantage of the P-TECH, which is going to be housed over at Peru. The second one is our IMPACT, which Andy talked about a little bit earlier, which is our global careers and technology course. And so students can take advantage of the global careers and technology course in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. And what's really exciting about this class is that it is truly tailored to the needs of the manufacturing industries in our area. So we've talked to those industries and they said, this is what we need for students coming out of high school to be ready for the workforce. So students have the opportunity to earn their MSSD certification and their National Work Readiness certification. Because there are different components to earning those certifications, then the kids can take this class more than once. Meaning a student can be enrolled in global careers and technology in 10th grade and then take it again in 11th grade so they can continue to earn their steps towards the certification. And then the new business medical program, which you saw on the 4-year college bound bubbles or pathways. And new business medical has been around a long time and long. It's fairly new for us here at the Plattsburgh CV Tech. But students spend a half a day at CVPH, and it's a very rigorous academic program, and it's designed for the students who are planning to go into a pre-med or biology or biochemistry major at the high school. I think we have 4 students right now this year from Beaconstown. It's selected out of all of the Clinton County area schools, and we only have 10 to 14 spots, so it's really great that Beaconstown has 4 of those 12 spots this year. And they also have the opportunity to earn half credits through the admissions as well. So here are all of our offerings in advanced placement courses and CAP courses. And you'll see that sometimes they're doubled up a bit, like AP US History is a course for us for advanced placement purposes, but we also offer it as a CAP class. And I oftentimes have parents that ask me, what's the difference between AP versus CAP, and if I'm in AP US History, should I take the AP exam as well as taking advantage of the CAP credit?
So I've broken it down a little bit just to kind of give you a description of the difference. AP courses are sanctioned by college boards, and they're a very rigorous curriculum. All of the AP courses have an everyday class period and an every other day lab period, and that's just to get through that rigorous coursework, that college preparatory work. They stand out in terms of college admissions. Because they are sanctioned by college boards, it's a national program. So, you know, all colleges throughout the nation are going to know when AP courses and know that that was a very rigorous, academic, challenging class that the student took. Colleges can award credit based on how the student scores on an AP exam. CAP courses, on the other hand, it's our dual enrollment program with Clinton Community College. So we have an agreement with Clinton Community College that says the class that we're teaching here at Beacontown mirror the curriculum that they teach at Clinton Community College. So our students have the opportunity to take advantage of earning some Clinton Community College credit. And our teachers are adjunct professors at Clinton Community College. So their experiences have been reviewed, and they're up to that professional standard of being an adjunct professor at Clinton. So students that take advantage of the CAP courses, they have to register in the fall and the spring semester. So we have a woman named Lil Nolan that comes from Clinton Community College and helps our students register once in the fall and once in the spring, depending on what CAP class they're enrolled in. If the student then pays, currently the cost is $47 per credit hour, and classes are about 3 or 4 credit hours per class. What's exciting about that $47 is that it's a huge, huge college savings in comparison to if that student went to Clinton and took it themselves. So that's a big saving from the parents and then the students now. Some of our CAP classes, like I said, they register in the fall and the spring, and some of them actually have 2 classes in 1 year. So you'll know the AP US is 3 at the top. So students have the opportunity to earn 3 credits in History 101, and then in the spring they can get History 102 credit. Our languages are like that as well, French 4 and Spanish 4. They can also enroll twice. And our new general biology class as well. This year we definitely ramped up our CAP offerings, which I'm very excited about. We have, this year we had AP Environmental, which is the new CAP course, and our participation in government is also a new CAP course. Next year we're going to have Intro to Drawing, General Chemistry, and General Biology. We're presenting as new CAP courses. So we really have some great offerings. I had a student tell me that he, when he left here, he actually started as a first semester sophomore in college. So basically, to get through a lot of those gen ed courses that are required for college to start up. In addition to all the bubbles that you saw earlier, students can take advantage of a wide variety of elective courses that we offer at Beacontown. So this is just broken down by subject area, all the different opportunities that kids have.
Okay, I just wanted to
go on that.
As you were giving the presentation, I just want everybody to realize what some of the main pathways that they went through, but obviously we have students here that a high number of students that want music as a pathway. So although there was a bubble for that, you see right there all the potential offerings we have for music or art that students would just love to. They're just going to be a natural artist, so we have other pathways as well.
And to add to that, we don't have them on here because this is for next year, and this is a living document. It's going to get bigger and it's going to show more of what we're really truly putting into that. But we're going to do have a sequential now 5-year program with music. So next year it will be the music theory 1 and music theory 2. The following year we're going to go all the way to music theory 5. So truly it's increasing as we move along. And we call it a living document. We will change it every year to make sure that we, our freshmen, our class, our cohorts know exactly what they're moving.
And in high school, because we're all about credits, students need a total of 22 credits in order to graduate. In order to advance from to the next grade level, you have to earn a certain number of credits. So our current ninth graders, in order to be considered a 10th grader next year and advance up, they have to successfully complete English 9 and Global 9 and earn 4 credits. On average, numbers, our ninth graders have anywhere from 6 to 6.5, actually some of my ninth graders are 7.5, but average is 6, 6.5 for the father's schedule right now, so they have to learn 4 of them to move up to 10th grade. 11th graders must successfully complete English 9, English 10, and Global 9 and Global 10, and earn 10 credits. And the 12th grader, this basically says that they have to be enrolled in enough credits so that they will graduate with their class in June. In order to be college and career ready, like I said, the average is 6.5 for our freshmen, but students must be enrolled in grades 9 through 11 in 6 credits. That's the minimum that they have to take. And in grade 12, they have to be enrolled in at least 5.5. And that's a little bit lower in grade 12 because we have all of those AP courses that have labs, the scheduling piece, because they have labs that go with them, we only have so much time in the day to get them. And these are some samples of the schedule to define to see what does 6.5 credits or 6 credits look like on a student schedule. In grade 9, you'll see the algebra. She's taking, the young lady's taking studio and art. Global 9, the living environment with her lab, and then on the opposite day is her physical education. Her English, then lunch, then Spanish, then her study hall. So she's enrolled in 6.5 credits. And what that basically means is she's going to have study hall every day and she's going to have a lunch every day. And then in grade 10, you're going to see that lunch in there as well, and then you'll see a study hall every day. And then this is grade 11. This student must have been accelerated because they're in pre-calculus as a junior. And then they're taking their AP US History, their Spanish 4, and she's taking an elective of psychology down there. And you'll see that study hall and lunch. Actually, this person really wanted AP US History, so they're taking lunch every other day. And then this is a 12th grader with her AP English Lit, her AP Calculus BC, and this is here. Her Spanish 5 is on there as well. All of our course descriptions are on the website. So currently, if you went on to the website in high school and under counseling services for academics, then you'll see a description of every single course that we offer. Soon we're going to have the new ones for next year. I'm rolling onto the website. So the very first time I saw this, I was like cheering for them because obviously all I had was the visual in my head and I'm sitting here, yay, like to put it into a real picture. And truly, this is the vision of our high school. We really just want our children, our students to be successful and know exactly where they want to go and have the foundation and the knowledge of the choices that they make. And for our parents too, because this is definitely something that will be posted on the website and parents can see and, you know, in introduction to ninth grade and all that good stuff that we offer here at Beacon Town, it's open knowledge now. Does anyone have any questions?
Is there anything besides the new vision program, any of the other CV Tech programs that offer any kind of college credit? Like there was an early childhood education program, does any of that offer a boost to get into?
They pretty much all do.
They all do.
Yes, every single one offers some level of CAP course.
And for CAP courses, a big proponent, I'm so excited about what you're doing, but what kind of counseling are these kids getting? Like, are you talking about some college choices in there when the way we're talking about CAP courses?
Absolutely.
Because not every college accepts certain courses.
Absolutely.
So it could be money thrown at a course that down the road doesn't get accepted. So is there some consideration for that when you're signing up?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're
pretty clear with the kids that you know that you're getting Clinton Community College credit, but it depends on the college that you're going to, how they're going to use those credits. Pretty much every college will accept them. It's just what they'll do with them is that's the question. Whether they'll use them for their general education requirements, whether they'll use them towards their major, or if they're just going to use them as effective. So we are very clearly thinking about that.
It's also important to note that we also have the conversation about the fact that
it's better to take the higher level courses because you're showing that college that you are prepared and ready to enter into college. So if a student, you know, a college gets our school profile, so they know what we offer for higher level courses, and if students are not choosing them and they're applying to a more selective college, that could possibly interfere with their admission because they haven't chosen the higher level courses, whether or not there's transfers credit.
Yeah. How involved are parents along the way when the kids are going from year to year to make college course selections? How can the parents be involved in that process or sit in so that they understand exactly where their kids are in terms of grad requirements and there's no big surprise in your year?
Absolutely.
They're invited to come in and sit. Sometimes we meet with them and a child to make a course selection. Sometimes they come in Sometimes they'll even come in and do a freshman or sophomore year to show that they're looking at the pathway and what needs to be done to ensure, again, that they meet those goals. And we run in the past College 101. We have done it during in the fall for during open house for parents to come in and run through the college admission process with them. We hope to do that for our junior parents this spring. So, and we have parents that call on their own if they can't make it to that meeting, which is, you know, we welcome them to come in.
In terms of CAP, we actually just met with the Love and Holland from Clinton Community College, and we're in the process of kind of revamping how we present that information to parents. Because it's a process, it's really confusing. It gets confusing as to how to register and what do I pay. And there's placement requirements for the CAP courses. And most of those placement requirements come from Clinton. We just have to make sure that the students meet those requirements. So we're trying to reinvent how we present it to the parents. So we're going to have a parent presentation in this spring for all students after our course requests are done, and we have a list of every single kid who signed up for a CAP course, and we'll have a presentation for those parents. We'll invite them in so they can overview all the requirements and then the steps, like how to register, how to pay, when I'm going to get my bill, all those questions.
Thank you.
On the CAP, specific to Clinton Community College, it is part of the student system, right? Why is it that our last applicant is in the rest of the student program? Why is it an automatic credit within the student system beyond the Clinton Community College?
That would go out of state for college, those professors go in the rest of
private colleges.
Because that was a clear. So even though it's just going to be in college, it's really student assistance.
Right. If you think of it as these students will take it out that they're in high school and just think of them as Clinton Community College students, because that's truly what they are. They're enrolling in a Clinton Community College course. The only difference is they're taking it here and not at, you know, up on the hill at Clinton. So when they graduate from high school, they're also going to get a Clinton Community College transcript. So as if they're transferring from Clinton Community College to another school. So they're transferring from Clinton to Boston College or from Clinton to SUNY Albany. So it's as if they're a transfer student. So they're just going to take that transcript and go, and then the college will apply it.
And you noticed, as far as the electives, where you had some extra chemistry ones, like the side, is there a reason why physics is not also included in there? Because you have AP physics, right?
We have physics.
But there isn't biology, but there isn't physics, and more general physics.
We are looking for general physics to have that next.
Next year, if the person who we feel may take the position will know by Friday, I guess, that person will be able to teach CAP physics.
That person and I have already discussed the situation, and I've already told them that it will be.
Just a little bit interesting side note. I noticed you have a history of Vietnam War on the left there, and just curious as to why specific about war and why not just why not a general political science class or something like that.
That's a task force from Kenny, which is why it's in that period.
And when the teacher designed the course and he was actually teaching at the college and teaching that particular course at Clinton and decided to bring the faculty that are teaching at Clinton this year back.
I just want to add on that it's really a hats off to our teachers because this is above and beyond. They have to be, you know, as Jen mentioned earlier, they have to be certified as an adjunct to come in and teach those CAP courses. And so they take it upon themselves to make sure that they get certified and do it. So that might answer why we have some and we don't have others because it does depend on the faculty that we have here.
I'd like to add that our faculty has been amazing. It's been just general conversations in department meetings, and they've volunteered to increase our CAP courses this year. So I feel completely blessed with the faculty that we have, or that I say that I inherited because it's my first year here, and they truly are invested in the future of our beginner CAP students.
My question was in relationship to the CAP courses, and I know that the price is obviously a very good one. But still for some families, I can see that being maybe a turnoff. Is there financial assistance similar to what they would receive through college? Is that something they can apply for or anything like that?
And unfortunately, no, but I am really open to ideas as to how we can develop our LLC in town-based scholarship just for our CAP students. So we're all here on that. But there is, Clinton Community College does have some funding available. It's very limited, and of course, they're giving it up to all the area schools that participate in CAP. So every once in a while, we can offer some financial assistance to families, but we're very limited to pay for it. They don't have to pay for books. And Clinton also, they used to have to pay for a fee, like a student association fee, and they don't pay that anymore. That went away about 2 or 3 years ago.
One more. Great, this is fantastic. We've been looking for this, we've talked about it, we have saying, especially since we're also looking at it from the middle school level as well. How do you, right now, it's a very clear path for kids that are going to college. They usually either have the innate ability to get them there, or they have a path that's helped by a parent environment. As far as the kids that choose not to or not want to or want to take a vocational path, is it reasonable, or I guess we're spending more time, is it reasonable to start, we talked about having a conversation with parents and the kids in the ninth grade as far as the path, is it reasonable to start earlier more so to catch the kids and maybe go to, let's say, a CE Tech? Because I'm concerned that some of the students do not think that their courses to be as rigorous or as dedicated. And by the time they get to seniors high, they might have lost the opportunity to do really well at CE Tech. You see what I'm dealing with that? So is that a conversation that we can start somewhere in the middle school?
I can only tell you a little bit of what I know about the 8th grade program. They do talk about CE Tech already in 8th grade. They take a field trip as well for any students who think they may be interested in CE Tech later on. So it already in 8th grade is going to start thinking about that pathway and what they need to do in order to get to CE Tech. I also know that Dawn Finley does the Home and Careers class at that grade level, and she does a great job with our career cruising website, exploring different career options, having students look at what types of education you might need, what type of salary you could expect to receive, what duties that job would entail, all of those kind of things. So career exploration doesn't just start in high school, it is already started at the middle school level as well. All I can really speak to as far as middle school.
And to add on to that, we are following through with what's being provided in middle school because then in ninth grade, IELA, they're going to be doing a unit all on how to professionally prepare for a job interview, resume, and all that stuff. That's going to be a piece of a unit for our ELA starting next year. Then in 10th grade, we have to ask that agenda. It really helps them choose what it is that they want to do and what their skills are. So I feel that because it starts in 8th grade, we're using that as a foundation to continue that path and really educate our students to properly make the decision that they want. When it comes also to the CAP courses, though it is here like in bubbles, we truly do believe that if a student is capable of doing a CAP course, even though they're not thinking of going to college, we're going to place them in that course.
They can still receive the high school credit and get that knowledge, even if they aren't able to pay for the CAP credit and receive the college credit. So they could be enrolled in a CAP course, but just not getting the college credit.
When we look at that pathway, the second pathway which you were just referring to, we look at that as a pathway that needs probably the most beefing up. We've really beefed up the college and the two-year college and the four-year college pathway. CB Tech is always beefing up. But we have actually already started this year beefing up that pathway. And we're having discussions yesterday with the middle school faculty after school at 4:30 and met with some of them. Today, the high school and the sister of Joe has got a keen interest on this, as well as everybody. We realize that we need to continue beefing up that pathway. As such, we have a meeting on the 19th with the Business Advisory Council at the, not the Workforce Investment Board, but over at the Industrial Park, and partnering with other businesses to help us with that pathway. And one of the things that's actually scheduled to happen tomorrow, we don't think it's going to happen because of the snow day, is there's that group of kids in that class taking a field trip to Swarovski and just to be, you know, get a hands-on on that manufacturing pathway, which you articulate so well. So we realize that's really kind of a pet project for us for the next couple of years, as well as maintaining the other great offerings that we have in place in the meantime.
And with an addition of the stuff that Mr. Nance just explained, we have a very, very good relationship with Clinton Community College, and they're willing to offer us their remedial math and their remedial ELA to provide students of our curriculum for 12th grade ELA and 12th grade math. So that alone, even though it's not a tax course, because they don't get tax credit, is truly really pulling up the rigor for our students to be college ready.
One more note, just on the career pathway. There's been a career planning meeting taking place at the Instructional Services Center about monthly or every couple of months, and I've gone to a few of those. We're actually a school who's going to be involved in a Career Connect Day that will take place in spring of 2015. But that's the culmination project. Leading up to that, we are doing some research projects within our English classes next year for grade 9, where they will be exploring careers, and they'll have to do a project, an individual project that they will then present surrounding that career. This year, it's actually started in the home and careers class because it's a process that's going to take place over 2 years. So we had to start with our current 8th grade students so that they can get the exposure to the 16 career selectors. Once they get that exposure, they come to us in the fall in 9th grade. We do a career interest inventory, and then we'll do the research project through the English 9 classes, and then the culminating event in the spring of 2015 for the Career Connect Day. And there's multiple schools
I guess the moral of the story, in terms of our career bubble, if I can wrap up this, the bubbles themselves are just credit-bearing courses. You know, that's what's within the bubble. What it doesn't show within the bubble is all the other things that Beacon Town High School and Beacon Town Middle School, and I think this is our, down to our elementary building, so I know they're going to group stuff down there, and my kids come home with them. All the other fantastic stuff that the school district is offering those kids so that they are truly college and career ready. And I wish that I could put them all in the bubble, but we'd be here, until tomorrow morning. So I'm excited about these stuff.
Thanks.
Okay.
I really appreciate and like what I see. It's so clear and it's encouraging. But I keep thinking, I look at all these offerings, and especially over the last few years and all the staff we've lost, I'm wondering how, I don't have to be responsible. So I wonder how, you must have done a lot of creative scheduling. I don't, yeah, I don't know how.
Okay, so this makes me blow because truly I dream about this and they know it. So the very first thing is that the very first thing I did is really truly bribe Leanne to give me a 6-day cycle because it affects special ed the most. But when you have a high school and a 6-day cycle, it's amazing what you can do.
But right now we're not on a 6-day
cycle. We're not. We're on a 2-day cycle. Day one, day two. I mean, like, really, it kills me, right? But with a 6-day cycle, it's incredible what I can do with electives. It's incredible what I can do with labs and not go over my 5 preps for a teacher. Like, truly, it just... it's like 3D in my head. So truly that's what it is. It's the scheduling of the clock.
And then we also had teachers, like you, Mr. Nestoria.
Who's been living in a 6-day cycle for us.
Right. And then he's talking about combining 2 courses so that you can then offer another course.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned before, we mentioned even at other board meetings, teachers have stepped up to the plate and said, I'll take on this extra duty, this extra assignment, more work for me, mm-hmm. or better for our students. So that's optimal.
Yeah, the teachers, mom is just being very creative with the schedule and dreaming of it. The teachers themselves have stepped up. So if you have a teacher that teaches chemistry, she's saying, I'll take one of the sections of my chemistry and I'm going to make it that task force so that we can offer that credit. Same with biology. Teaching biology, let's make one of them a task force so that it's not... It's not increasing their duties, but it's ramping up a piece of it.
I'd like to thank you all. This is a fantastic presentation. This is something that we've been looking for quite a period of time. It's great to have, I wish we had more people here to see and hear what you're doing, but I know that the people here are appreciative of seeing and hearing this information. Kudos to you, kudos, Dan, Mr. Manick. This is great. This is something we have been longing for, so thank you. And on the music and arts note, Mr. Manick mentioned, those departments took a pretty big hit over the last several years, and it's fantastic to see the number of offerings, and it does speak to the dedication of our staff. We've had a number of students that have taken advantage of a pretty prestigious music school nearby and have gotten a wonderful start here at this institution and gotten some tremendous training. So it's good to see the value of that being returned, and I'm very happy about it. Thank you.
The presentation is also going to be going on the website.
Kick.
The prezi is also going to be going onto the website so that it's available for community members, parents, students to see as well. Thank you.
As we transition back, we'll have public comment.
Yes. Again, thank you so much, and really look forward to these type of presentations continuing. I know it's a lot of extra work on your part, but we appreciate it. Thank you. We'll open the floor now for public comment. 10 minutes, if anyone has anything they'd like to address to the board.
It's Gary Guts. I live on Newell Avenue, town of Plattsburgh. Again,
again, I would like to commend the school board and the administrator and the business manager for everything that they're doing to try to work and give our kids a better education with the money that we have to work with. And I've been coming here for 3 years, and I would really like to commend you ladies for the work and the presentation you put on, and what I can see is going to happen as a betterment for the school district. The only thing that I'm a little sorry about, I'm disappointed that the action, I should say non-action, that the board and the administrator took as far as the retirement health care. As a taxpayer, I feel that there was no vote taken, but I feel that you cave to the whining of the retirees. I'd also like to state that I think only 40% of the retirees currently live in our district. So what happens with the tax base and what the taxpayers have to pay is not going to affect them at all. I know there are a lot of the support staff and the retirees and teachers that retired a while back do have a short pension, small pension compared to what some of the newer ones have. Those I feel for, but a lot of the other ones, I felt that they could have absorbed that little bit of what it would have cost them, but instead they dumping it onto the taxpayers, because this is something that's going to be long term, and you know, it's not going away. So I mean, you know, I'm kind of disappointed that nothing was done. The other thing, Plan A was only offered starting in 87. Those retirees that retired before 87 have been given Plan A. They've been given the drug plan, which only came about, I think, somewhere in 2000, 2003, 2004. I don't even think that was part of the health care before. I could be wrong. But, you know, I'd like you to think about, you know, what you did and think about the rest of the taxpayers. Thank you.
Do we have any other comments for the board? Okay, thank you. Moving on from public comments, we have reports, and we'll start with Mr. Maddox.
Okay. So we wanted to review the details of the potential spending plan, which we were going to discuss, I think, at our last meeting, but the State Education Department kind of threw a wrench into the works and changed our tax cap. So unless we went back to the drawing board, and when that impact hit us, we utilized the same approach we used to build the first budget based on the 1.77% tax cap. We used an incremental approach to add into the budget, and then when we had to subtract from the budget, we used that same incremental approach. Before I go there, I did want to review quickly a presentation that directly affects our spending plan, because when I started this position, and I have heard for at least a year about the drastic financial situation Beaverton Central School District was in, and we reviewed those numbers, and I just want to go through that again. And those numbers were not in the interest of anything but full disclosure, because I didn't want anybody to make a decision based on what they thought our situation was. I wanted all decisions to be based, whether it's this decision on the budget or future decisions, based on actual knowledge. So we looked at where we were with our previous five-year outlook, and I talked to everybody about it. I said, look, you know, Governor Cuomo said state aid is going to be at 2%. Every year. So that's what you're going to receive, 2% or lower, and that's what was budgeted for a five-year plan. And we have a tax cap, 2% tax cap, and that's what was budgeted for a five-year plan, correctly so. We looked at our pilots, and actually on that five-year plan, our pilots, when looking at the five-year plan, our pilots are a little higher than what we have right now, because our pilots have actually been adjusted recently. So our total revenue was based on stated policies by our government. Our increases were based on 20-year histories, basically 20-year histories. Our increases in health insurance were based on 20-year history, which had been going up on average. It's actually on average more than 7%, and we couldn't use on a five-year plan. It would be completely foolish under the auspices of Taylor Law to start planning that we were going to be in Plan 2. We knew we had to have an agreement to be in Plan 2. So we wouldn't start budgeting like we were going to absolutely be in Plan 2, which has a 20% decrease and has been going up not at 7 or 9%, but at a much more reasonable rate. On top of that, we had TRS. People, you know, maybe you budgeted incorrectly. No, it wasn't. The case with TRS has been, for the longest time, they TRS numbers, which was a teacher retirement system or ERS retirement system, I don't use global numbers because I mean, I'm going to lump them together because I'm not going to get into the fine detail. But for the longest time, those numbers were 8% of our payroll or less, 8% of our payroll. Then all of a sudden, in the last few years, those numbers have jumped up basically 20% of our payroll, a little bit less than 20% of our payroll goes into those retirement systems. Now, some people might say, well, why don't you just stop at 20%? Well, we're trying to project, and we're not going to say that this is just going to stop. We have had some relief in TRS, ERS, and we're hoping for more because our spot market is doing better. But a year or two ago, I think it would have been foolish to project that type of scenario. On top of that, we also looked at the 20-year average of the BTA in the retirement, in the support staff. That's a 20-year average of 5%. Now, the business office could have projected 3% raises, which we recently negotiated, but that would have been wishful thinking, not projecting based on trends. That's their job. That's what we have to do, is based on past experiences. So, they used a number that the Boards of Education, you got to also remember, the Board of Education, not too long ago, was presented with an MOA that the board turned down and then later adopted 5% raises for 4 or 5 years. That was a higher MOA than what was previously brought to their table. So that was about, maybe that was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So that appetite for spending on our employees, our great employees, we just talked about how great our employees, it's understandable how we want to support them. But that appetite for spending was there. We couldn't project that we were going to have a different outcome than we've had. And we've achieved those outcomes partly, you know, due to this collaboration with our great employees. All that went into the hopper, and we were not looking good, and then if those numbers, if you know anything about compounding numbers, those numbers continually, if you start off in a bad situation with all these compounding numbers, it grows, it grows, it grows. That's how we came to the scenario of being 1 million in the hole, 2 million in the hole, 3 million in the hole. Well, what's the reality now? The reality now is there's a lot of different situations that have happened over the last 6 months. Nobody can take credit for any one of these situations. The biggest situation, one of the biggest situations, is out of our control. That 2% increase that was promised by Governor Cuomo, and I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of school districts that are realizing that 2% increase in state aid. Over the last 2 years, we've received 12% in state aid, 6% and 6%. So if we're projecting 2% for 5 years, that's 10%. Well, the last 2 years, we're at 12% total increase. That really helps. That really, really helps us. Would we have been forced to predict a 5% increase? Absolutely. We're fortunate to receive a 6% increase. Our pilots, as I said, are actually a little bit down. Our tax increase is right now 0.77. In that projection, we were at 2%. So we're up in one area, up significantly in one area, but down in a couple other areas. Big areas we've made significant adjustments to, as everybody knows, our salary increases are like they haven't seen before. That's why negotiations were so difficult. And that's across the board. That's not BT, that's across the board. Our salary increases are different. Our health insurance is different. And I'm going to just stop on health insurance for a second, because I can talk health insurance with blue in the face. Our health insurance, we're the only district to actually have affected retiree health. That's right. We actually did affect retiree health in two ways. We offset the Obamacare Cadillac tax with our move to Plan 2. How do you say that? It's pretty simple math. If previously Obamacare Cadillac tax was projected to take effect in 2018-19, if our rates increased at 8%, the rates increased this year at 3%. So that will offset that 2018-19 year, at least a year or two down the road. That's time. What will happen over that time is our folks that are not on Medicare. If you're on Medicare, you're not going to be subject to the Obamacare. We're not going to be subject to the Obamacare tax because you're paying a lower rate. The group that's still in our regular offering, not the Medicare supplement offering, that group over time will move to Medicare. Over that time that it takes for that threshold to creep up on the Obamacare tax, our people will be transitioning into the Medicare supplement. So we have control of that number with this move. That's very, very significant. It's also significant because we're the only school district. I'm so proud to say that we're the only school district right now to have retirees in Plan 2, which is a phenomenal plan. I said retirees, I said everyone, an unapologetic supporter of Plan 2. We have retirees in Plan 2. We have employees. We're the only school district in this county to have employees in Plan 2, no HRA. We're proud of that. And we don't make any apologies for that. One thing we do have to realize is everybody stood up at that microphone and did say, don't move us or move us. But every voice that we heard as a board said, move on, but try not to affect this other group of people with the really low pensions. And we also had retirees came up there and said, if you move me, it's not going to affect me that much, but we are worried about these folks that have a low pension. There was no way to carve out people and affect some people somewhere and other people another way. So did the board do the right thing? I think we did the right thing by listening to everybody, taking all the information in, digesting it, and what we heard at the table, we came out with our final decision. Have we affected everybody and saved as much money as we possibly could? No, absolutely not. Are we doing far better today than we were on August 22nd? I submit to everybody, by you telling me or not. We absolutely are. We're so far better off. And we still have problems. We talked about that at our last meeting. We still have problems on the road. We're not out of the woods. But we're so far better off than we were. We have been creative. We're looking at the spending plan this coming fiscal year. We're enhancing our offerings tremendously with very low impact to our employee base. We're looking at potentially employing our big ticket items, really our four language teacher, which would really change some of those clusters you saw by moving that four language down into the middle school. We'll take away so many study halls from our middle school population, and we really need more offerings in our middle school. And hats off to Principal Campbell for the work she's doing. She's continuing to do more work she's not done. There's going to be other offerings in the middle school. Again, not by hiring more people. A lot of people, there's 4 or 5. I think there was a question about that. The only way to have better offerings is to hire more people. And we've been creative. The other piece that we're looking to do, and we talked about it, is hire a part-time physics teacher, which is great because there'll probably be no health insurance, or at least that person will pay 50% of the premium in health insurance. So that person would be able to teach a physics class, which would be a regular physics. We offer 2 physics now, but he'd be able to teach a cap physics because he's currently a teacher of classroom state in a regular physics. And then that would allow our people who are teaching that to teach the two different cap courses and Ron Moss would teach a 3rd cap course. So we're excited about what's happening at the high school level, and we just went through that. Our other spending, our main spending items are, as we mentioned before, we never budgeted for equipment. Well, let me just say that too with our educational center. We are looking to, we have, at the elementary, we have 2 very, very high class lows. One at Cumberland Head and 1 or almost 2 at the Eaton Elementary. I'm going to submit to the Board of Education that we have to look at finding other ways to district are to maybe look at redistricting, or we currently have an attendance zone line, and maybe we make that a path, so the people in this path would be bused to either school based on enrollment, something that's never been done before, but it would allow us the flexibility of, instead of having a class with 28 in it, maybe we could offset that a couple, and, you know, 26 is certainly a little bit better than 28. So that's a discussion we have to have. If we don't have that discussion, we could seek volunteers to move back and forth from one school to another. If not, we are looking at potentially hiring a teacher or two at the elementary level, not at each building, but at the elementary level. We are working on changing our AIS programs at the elementary level as well. What that looks like, we'll get back to you on. And at the middle school level, there's a potential 0.6 art teacher for part of our spending plan. That would actually be middle school and elementary school. Our current elementary school art teacher I mentioned before has, I think it's 900 students. She teaches 900 students, and that's quite the workload. She does a fantastic job. Right now, at the middle school level, we don't have a certified art teacher. So we need to have, the Board of Education, we need to have a certified art teacher. Maybe we can hire somebody. I think the benefit package would be far lower than what we would normally see. And lastly, we're working with the Special Education Department to build in a crisis counselor that would probably be offset with a reduction in one area, which would then apply to that crisis counselor who would help with the special education, but also the regular education program. It would also provide us cut out administrative coverage when our principals are out of the building at different meetings. So it's maybe a catch-all position would certainly help our student body, our teachers, and our administrators. So those are the big tickets, so to speak. The other pieces that really we've got to look at that are in our control are, these are more one-year items. We haven't purchased equipment or buses in a very long time here. And we have beautiful facilities. We need the proper equipment to keep these facilities and manage and be a good steward for our taxpayers in these facilities. One of the areas where we have a lot of concern are our vehicles and some of the mechanical tools. If we have sat down and built a five-year cycle on how to incrementally build that up or replace our equipment. But I'm going to hand this over to Mary in just a second. The other piece that Mary will talk about as well is our buses. We're obviously in the business of busing our students. We've completed the transportation study that went out to all board members today and will be available online. The transportation study says that we should be purchasing buses, but also depleting our bus inventory, so to speak, and we're going to do that. And we've got to get back on the cycle. As Leonard said at the previous board meetings, we've always run four buses every year. We purchase four buses every year. We're not going to go to that cycle. The study says purchase four 1 year, three the next. Four 1 year, three the next. And we're going to see if that works. It also says to deplete your bus inventory by two buses. So we will sell back five buses this year, and we're submitting to the board to purchase four, and then next year it will be sell back four buses and purchase three to offset the cost. Everybody should know when we purchase a bus, it's a big ticket item, but if we receive 72.5 cents on every dollar that we send back, comes back to us. Almost 75 cents on a dollar comes back to us. Mary, can you quickly talk about our equipment and our buses?
We've been working with Mr. Newton and the operations and maintenance departments, as well as Mr. Brandt and the transportation department, and analyzing and studying all of the equipment and infrastructure within those departments to keep the campus and the transportation department all running smoothly. Since we were on a contingency budget a few years ago, we have not built back into the budget any cycle replacement costs for the aging equipment that we're using within the facility, whether it be in campus for maintaining
hallways, classrooms, et cetera, or whether it's in the transportation fleet and buses that are rolling on the road every day. Some analysis that we have done, just to put it in context for you, currently the Beacontown fleet for student transportation, we have 42 school buses in that fleet. The transportation study that we have is recommending that we downsize that fleet by a couple of buses, and we'll do that over a couple, 2 year period of time as we trade when we have replaced the buses. Additionally, with that fleet, we have two school vans that are also used on a daily basis, both runs for elementary school, middle school, and high school, fully occupied for student transportation. So we have a total of 44 vehicles in use. The district has not replaced or purchased these school vehicles in 3 years. So our fleet has aged in that 3 year period of time with additional mileage on it, over and above what we had historically been running as averages. The average mileage per vehicle is approximately 106,000 miles. The lowest odometer reading in the fleet is 54,600 miles. The highest odometer reading in the fleet is 169,597 miles. Currently, 24 vehicles have an excess of 103,000 miles, and another 10 vehicles have an excess of 75,000. I simply bring this data to you, the data and the analysis on the fleet, to just emphasize the need for us to get back on a cycle replacement plan. Based upon the transportation study, we will endeavor to implement recommendations purchasing 4 buses 1 year and 3 buses the following year. For the current year, Mr. Brink has gone out to 4 various vendors on state contract for buses. We also need wheelchair capacity on one of the buses, so the plan is 3 regular buses, 1 bus that's wheelchair compatible. In addition to that, we also have one of these student vans, both of which are being used daily in the replacement as well.
Mary, can we just go back to the wheelchair bus? I think our bus from day one, September, which is a huge issue, we borrowed. Is that the wheelchair bus that we were borrowing from another district?
Over the last 2 years, off and on, as our need presented itself based upon student IEPs, we have borrowed and rented from neighboring school districts wheelchair accessible buses at times that we've needed them when the needs have exceeded the capacity that we have. I don't want to go too deep into the analysis, but we did obtain quotes from all of the vendors in addition to the state contract pricing, which is basically keep all the buses at the base level similar, but the quotes are very close to each other. Included in that analysis early on, we did some site visits to the Malone School and also investigated the propane transportation opportunity. With these buses, we've come down to basically 3 of the manufacturers in competing bids on state contract, and we have a recommendation, and actually the resolution in the agenda tonight with the dollar amount not to exceed is based upon what we perceive to be the best value state contract available. There's approximately a $2,000 variance between the top two vendors, and $2,000 in cost value, however, significant a warranty and the definition of the warranty, whether it's engine only or bumper to bumper or engine plus drivetrain plus bumper to bumper. And also the historical service turnaround time that we have. So the recommendations and the studies in transportation have been based upon all of that data and collection. As far as in the operations and maintenance departments, we've gone through similar analysis, and we've asked the custodians and Mr. Newman have worked closely in evaluating all of the equipment that they use on a daily, weekly basis to maintain the campus. Over 100, I don't even want to quote it, but a lot of hundreds of thousands of square feet of campus that's maintained. Some of the things that are really in need are some of the floor burnishers that we use for high hallway maintenance safety of students throughout the day. We try to minimize the impacts of the peaks and valleys on that and smooth out the cycle replacement plan. So Mr. Newman has some recommendations in there. One of the most urgent items are initially to begin that purchasing program with. And just one topic that I'll bring up, just to give you details, not to go into all of the items that the operations and maintenance staff use on a daily basis, but one item of particular interest that's come up in discussions at budget advisory committee meetings was analyzing the difference between the district using independent contractors to provide snow maintenance, snow clearing maintenance for parking lots, sidewalks, et cetera, for all of the campuses versus doing it internally. Mr. Newman had gone through history and reviewed the past 7 years. In that time period, we had paid different independent contractors over that period of time anywhere between $20,000 and $30,000 per year to provide snow maintenance services. This would be in addition to the services provided by Mr. Newman's staff internally as well. A quick analysis, strictly from a numbers point of view, we've costed out what it would take to invest in equipment to continue to provide the service internally, which has been done by Mr. Newman for the last 3 years, as a method of when we went to contingency budget, how can we save money, how can we get these services done. They were using a farm tractor that the district had owned for other purposes, as well as some of the trucks that we have. In the time period that we are projecting at, in 2012 to 2014, based upon the cost that we had been paying contractors in the years before that, between 2006 and 2011, it's estimated that we've saved roughly $75,000 in contractor service costs without having invested any money in equipment to perform those services. Looking forward to the next 5 years, which is what we had basically tasked the department supervisors to do in developing our five-year plan, was what would be needed to continue to provide the services to the district. We would need to purchase another new truck and plow pickup truck, as well as a commercial-sized tractor. The tractor we have that is in excess of 10 years old and has several thousand hours on it, and it's going to be, we anticipate, it's going to be breaking down more and more because of the age of it. The investment in these three items would be approximately $131,000 based upon quotes of local vendors providing this type of equipment and state contracts. Assuming the average cost per year of between $20,000 and $30,000 for snow maintenance, it would take 4 to 5 years to recoup the initial investment in the equipment that we're talking about for commercial tractor, cloud. Assuming the new equipment has an estimated useful life minimum of 10 years, which is, I think, very conservative, the district would then save approximately $20,000 to $30,000 a year for the next 5 or 6 years past the initial period of break even. This would amount to between $125,000 and $180,000 savings beyond the initial break even period. Again, this is assuming no cost escalation in contractor fees, which is not reasonable because all of our contractor costs in the history, in our past, we did see increases from year to year. This is just one area that we've taken a look at. Some of the other areas, this is one of the larger areas. Obviously, a lot of the equipment that we use internally is not as large as something like this. But to give you an idea of the 3 to 5 year analysis and the impact on the budget to build back in a sustainable routine equipment replacement program for both operations and maintenance department as well as the transportation department.
Thanks a lot, Megan. Other pay areas that are out of our control, if we don't really fit to establish the rates, are our BOCES increases, both NAR, which is our cap region BOCES, provides some of the infrastructure, their increase, and our local BOCES, their increases basically account for roughly about $100,000 that's out of our system, out of our control. Two other pieces I want to bring your attention is school safety is paramount. I worry every day as I walk through the hall, just about every day. I do worry about the number of students that that we have in our building, and we don't have any real supervision, and we're looking to provide a shared services school resource officer with Saranac Central Schools. They have budgeted, they have open passes, the edge of budget, open passes, and it would be a problem
person to be on a rotating schedule and be a presence in our parking lots and in our hallways and for our school community. This time, you know, this is where we are in America, I think, particularly to look at that. And that component, the sheriff's department, has said they would only budget a family, or excuse me, an individual plan for us, for that school resource officer. We don't have to pay, they would pay any of the family plans. So that's quite a bargain for that individual. And then another two or three other areas, we are reallocating some of the money that we currently have allocated to special education companies. Far better job of educating them than really any place else I've seen, and I've seen a lot of places. So hats off to Van Short and her staff. But because of what we've been able to do with our drawback programs, post these numbers I just talked about, we've been able to save quite a bit of money. We are reallocating roughly $300,000 that is the regular program, and talk to Director Short. And with this, just today, we offered another spending freeze, and I want everybody to know we are cautious with our spending. The only way that we will have a balance that will actually go into a fund balance would be if we're proactive. And this is the second time we sat people down and say, you know, we're going to stop spending for a little while because we want to have that excess at the end, again, 1 or 2%, which is a lot. If we go through all of our budget lines, if we go through 1 or 2%, then we're off with a significant amount that can be applied within our 3-year plan, and we kind of went through that as well as part of something that had wasn't accounted for previously. And lastly, we talk about personnel cuts. I believe since I've been here in incorporating into this budget, we'll have about 2.4 positions that will be eliminated from the budget as well, which will allow us capacity to implement all the areas that we talked about. You know, when you go through the nitty-gritty, there's a lot of other areas where we just incrementally increase, you know, $100 here or $1,000 there. At the end of the day, I know we're going to have a far better education system. We're going to be at the statutory limit for our fund balance, and we're going to be at that tax cap number. And this doesn't include almost everybody that I've talked to does believe that we will receive some GEA money back in our system from the governor. But if it doesn't materialize, again, because of our moves, we're in a far better position than others. With all that being said, you know, we can take any questions on our spending plan right now.
But Dan, there's only one thing. Did he take into consideration on that bus or the transportation issue? We've got this new 60 people or 60 units coming in down your way. Is that going to, are we going to be short on buses because of that coming in? Or
well, he did. Good, great question. We did talk about it, and we do have 60 units coming in. But in my neighborhood, and then we have another slow-moving development, again, in my neighborhood. And he is well aware of those numbers, and you know, he believes that we're on the right track. But we're going to, you know, that's another reason why we're not selling both. He says sell two of your buses. We're not selling them both this year. We're going to, again, use that incremental approach. So one this year, one next year. And if we start seeing bigger numbers than we expected, then we can adjust. And another thing is that new redistricting line, that will cut right through that area. So we've got to really take a look at that redistricting line and see how that we can balance out what's happening at Utah Elementary and what's happening at Carmel Pat. So to answer your question, yes, you did, but it's obviously something we've got to watch and see how many families move in.
Can we set the next agenda some time to bring this in public? So we have questions that way we can.
Well, great question. He is coming on April 6th to do a presentation. April 1st. So he'll be here. So he'll be here, do a presentation, and ask all the questions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we'll also post it. He's given to us electronically, and we'll be able to post that.
And you did say this is going onto our website so that the public can have access to it and would also be able to ask questions at that meeting.
Yes, we had the thumb drive and the CD, and we'll post it up.
My question is I see it looks like you were just going over the ones. I don't know. Obviously there's additional lines.
Yes.
That do you know when they'll receive those additional lines for our review? Obviously, we have our salary of our teachers, which is a humongous line. We have our health insurance, which is a humongous line. Some of those, I assume the health insurance is going down or staying flat. I assume it could get a little bit because of the plan to switch, but we have the HRA and stuff like that. Just to kind of see some of those things, because I think, this is really nice because, when you get to the detailed budget, they're pretty heavy to look through, but this was a really nice synopsis for somebody to just very quickly go through and see from a summary standpoint where we're going up and where we're going down.
You mean like we've seen before in previous years, we've had a booklet?
You still will. Okay. We just haven't gotten that far. What you're referring to was the three-part budget presentation. We are probably about a month ahead of where we have been in past years. So what you're seeing right now, because everything is still very fluid, until we get to the April 1st revenue date from the legislature to know where the numbers are, it's still very fluid from day to day. Mr. Mannix, our district treasurer Bell, and myself work with this on a daily basis. So the one-page summary you're looking at is really a big picture, but please understand it changes daily. We'll still be doing a three-part presentation that is in the budget calendar. I forget the exact date, but that's also the one that has the projected 14-15 estimated budget, 13-14 budget, so you have any comparison, and it also drops in the 12-13 audited actual people. And that's still coming, it's just a little bit out on the budget calendar.
So just moving on the agenda, my report, I wanted you to realize what happens if our budget doesn't pass. We're staying at that 0.77% tax cap, which would mean we have to eliminate $144,000 out of the budget. Some of that would come, we wouldn't be able to have equipment lines, so actually we would shift those equipment line numbers someplace else into the budget. But then it would be another year without the proper equipment willing to maintain our facilities. We would lose all non-mandated emergency equipment. We could still purchase buses if they were approved by the voters. And items within materials and supplies for our teachers would be removed. And additionally, all salary increases for exempt or non-collectively bargaining contracts would be frozen, and that would be very difficult also because we would still have to pay the BOCES admin cap increase out of our budget. So that's a big number going to BOCES, and we wouldn't be able to handle our admin capacity. What are we going to do if we receive an influx of funds? Some people have said maybe that the GPA will be cut in half, which would roughly mean about $500,000 to our district, which would be absolutely phenomenal. Like I said, I would take 25% and be very happy. What would we do with that? We really worry, this is a great question for the Budget Advisory Committee, where are the areas that you can start going south of her? What is it that puts you in a position that the district found themselves in before? We have a clear understanding of how the district got into the position it was before. We're not going to let that happen again. One of the areas is in allocating our tax levy, but another area is how we manage our people, our HR side of the quotient. And if we go back out and say, okay, we have an influx of money, we need to hire people and pay salaries and health insurance, and that has that compounding effect again and again and again. And before you know it, we'll be back in trouble. So we've talked about hiring a few people, and we've also talked about
eliminating a couple of positions as well in this current budget. We were looking at, under growth budget, professional development increases, which we hadn't seen in 3 years. We have a little bit of money there now. One of the areas that's going to be difficult to achieve is the technology since learning lab with the hit from the tax cap. We could probably look at implementing that, enhancing our Common Core curriculum, and also looking at providing an outside Common Core curricular auditor to come in to make sure that our teachers who are doing parallel lessons and parallel assessments are spot on, so our kids are receiving that Common Core instruction that's outside of the New York State module or our adopted curriculum that the teachers have. Yeah, our budget presentations are going to be on March 31st at Cumberland Head Elementary, and the American Legion has given us a spot as well. They'll be March 25th, we'll be here at the board meeting. We'll have our presentation before, and then we'll have the board meeting on March 25th. Giving the presentation to all of our school, both elementary school, middle school, and high school. And we wanted to have a presentation at Treadwell's Mills, but they're visiting. They only say we can have it on Friday night at 7 o'clock. I'm betting that nobody's going to show up and want this to be a Friday at 7 o'clock. So we're going to move on that for now. That, I'm just going to hand it over to Mary, the school business executive.
Start with the good news. We received a letter today from DASNY regarding the, if you may remember, the emergency project that we had in May of 2010, the fuel lines, and the emergency project that we had in May of 2011, the domestic hot water. We just received notice that the check is in the mail. We'll receive it on Friday for the XLA of $287,166 on that. So it was a while in the making. Mr. King and I made a trip to Albany and going over these Excel emergency projects in the 12-13 school year to talk to FCD about how these came about, and got the ball rolling, so to speak, as far as getting the Excel reimbursement on that. So that's a great thing that will now be behind us. That's just a small portion. As you know, the capital project is we're wrapping up the big $6 million capital project. The remainder part of that XLA, we're looking to maximize on that project as well. The next item is on the budget transfers on tonight's agenda. Just to remind you, there were two large ones that we had asked for. The first one is just simply a reclassification, as we try to guess on the budget lines when it comes to coaching stipends, where they're going to fall between the instructional code and the non-instructional code. And we've had more fall on the non-instructional code, so I'm just simply realigning the budget dollars between those two. It's an educated guess at this point, as the appointments come through for all the remainder of the coaching positions for the spring season. We'll be tidying those up again and determining where the budget lines fall out with the actual appointments. The other item is just moving from the reserves. As you'll recall, we have a reserve for the employee compensated absences, that liability, and I measured from July 1st until it was, I believe, February 3rd or 4th, we had an announcement of retirement. So basically, we have two people with a payout, which we don't budget for that in the current year budget. We plan on taking that out of the reserves, so that's your second budget transfer.
And jump on that.
Sure.
We never, I talked about this at the last board meeting, we have done a nice job over the last few years building up our reserves. The reason why you build up those reserves is to actually use those reserves and start getting written out by the comptroller. So in our future budgets, instead of taking out a general fund, we should budget for the use of those reserves, and we should also plan on being prudent with our dollars so that we can then take some money and pull them back into the reserves at the end of the year. So the second way it's supposed to work.
I do anticipate that sometime in May I will be coming back for another budget transfer request to move more money, which is for the retirement announcements that were made in the end of February and in March
if there's another 3, 4, or 5 more people that we'll have to pay off for. So in order to get the funds in the appropriate codes prior to that happening at the end of the school year, we'll be bringing forth another one. And then also, as Mr. Manning said, towards the middle or the end of May, we'll be looking at where are we on reserves, how much have we drawn them down, and what, if any, opportunity is there for any replenishment. The last item I just want to comment on, and that's on behalf of the tax collector, there is an approval for the board to just approve the tax refund amount where there was an error on a tax assessed value on a particular property within the district for an adjustment that is at a level that needs to come to the board for approval.
That's it. So we'll turn the floor over to our very dashing Mr. Check.
On the back, I just like dropping down that. It's one of my favorite things. So to begin, our National Honor Society has been busy with their recycling campaign. It's their chapter project for this year. Every National Honor Society school year, they do like a chapter project, and this year they chose the subject of recycling. And so they have been meeting with representatives from Casella Waste who actually today observed our building and met with them. I unfortunately was not able to be at the meeting. To see what happened, but they are going to try and find ways of how we can recycle our milk cartons because they are recyclable and we go through many of them every day. Plastic bottles, cans, all sorts of papers. They want to do this whole campaign, which I think is really exciting. They have also started selling shamrocks during lunch periods to raise money for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. They have also continued the third grade homework club in the Beacon Tunnel Elementary School building right over here. They're going to try and expand that to the fourth and fifth graders as well. And they also started tutoring. I already mentioned our Model UN thing. I did not know that was going to be on the agenda today. So I'm going to skip the North Country part, but the Beacon Tunnel part. I believe we have schools come here, NCCS and Peru.
Shady,
thank you. And it went very well. Students had a great time. And just for the record, it's all student run. It's all run by our Harvard team with supervision from our Harvard advisors. And I just want to take this time to thank Mrs. Barnes and the cafeteria staff for providing the food for snacks and lunches for the many students that attended. We had one music student participate in the NYSDA, the New York State Band Directors Association, I believe. It's a state selected band, and he was the only one from our school to attend, which is very exciting, and he represented Beacon Town very well. As the council said previously, that all sophomores and some juniors took the as bad aptitude test today. Suggestion box. It seems like every day when I open that box up with a special little key, there is a suggestion for a school dance. And so I have brought this attention to our student council advisors, and we talked to the freshman class advisors, and they are talking to their class officers about holding a fundraiser dance for their class, which is still in talks, so it's not finalized yet. And lastly, I believe our senior class is hosting a variety show as their last fundraiser of the year. On April 4th here at Beacon Town. One other thing, kind of directed to Mr. Manning.
Maybe good.
I'll try. our students are kind of looking forward to the snowstorm. Just a little hammer. Thank you.
That's juicy.
Bradley, the recycling program that's being undertaken by the National Honor Society, they're laying the groundwork for something that will continue on, or is this program something that's going to be left up to discretion after this year?
They want to continue, and our advisors right now really are taking a passion on this, and they want to continue to better our recycling, to better our, lower our waste, our garbage. Great, I guess that we have to pay to have garbage and mm-hmm. lower the garbage to pick up and stuff. So
it's nice legacy for the NHS to continue on with.
Yeah.
Good news. Okay. Committee report. Audit committee. Got something for me?
We just got yesterday. Are we talking about the one from yesterday?
Yes.
So.
Yes, sir. We just met yesterday. We're on the financials for February. Again, another month where the business office is put out in about a week. Second time in a row. So now we expect that for here on. Outstanding. Everything good there. We still haven't received the final internal audit report. That should be coming shortly, from what I understand. Right?
We have
a draft. We have a draft. We'll be the final. So that's it.
Thank you. Operations, Mike?
So we haven't met in February, the operations committee, but we've been fairly busy. We had, as mentioned prior, we had a meeting February 11th with NYSERDA regarding solar, and more recently we met with Johnson Controls regarding an energy performance contract February 28th. And so what I'm tasked to talk about a little bit is the energy performance contract. Everybody here has been aware that we're aspiring to realize savings through natural gas, solar, and more recently perhaps tapping into wind energy. And aside to that, I assumed it was aside to that, we started becoming interested in an energy performance contract. Mr. Mannix met with a fellow from Johnson Controls and invited him to one of our meetings, and he gave us a preliminary performance review. And then since then, we've also asked Siemens to give us their input on a possible energy performance contract. And I'm still learning about what exactly that is, but I thought it was more related just to find energy savings through electrical use, heating, you know, roaming around the buildings and figuring out ways to save, but really it turns out to be much more than that. Our meeting the 28th was actually very interesting. I was very encouraged where they more recently gave us, Johnson Controls anyway, met with us and gave us a more detailed analysis of what we could do. And we need to look at that very closely, and we're still in this process. And once we have all that together, we will present to the board. But they're talking about tying in our aspirations of and working with us to convert our boilers to be able to burn natural gas, working with us for applying for what we need to do for solar and maybe even wind, and formulating a plan. And through meeting with NYSERDA and NYSEG, we've learned that we needed to pick an architect and engineer to design these projects, and this is something that these two different companies can help us with as well. But more specifically to the energy performance contracts, they've already had tours of the buildings, and they're looking at things like lighting improvements, such as a light, lighting that will come on when it's occupied, and utilizing daylight, more efficient motors through our plant wherever we need them, more efficient controls on walk-in freezers and coolers through all our and exhaust systems through our kitchens and cafeterias. A lot of discussion on energy controls, and the numbers they're talking about are quite large, but they can really help us tie in all those other little energy things that I thought was just an energy performance, but with all these other things. So it's exciting, it's encouraging. We still haven't finalized which way we're going to go with Siemens or Energy or Johnson Controls, or if do it at all. But that's what we're working on now.
Okay, thank you. It was brought up to me by somebody recently that in the town of Plattsburgh, and this would pertain to any wind-type project that we may be considering at Cumberland Head, which is always windy, but that there's some moratorium on wind turbines out in the town of Plattsburgh. Have you investigated that with the town at all? That might be something that we need to pursue to find out if there's any kind of zoning that would prohibit it.
Yeah. One of the things the architects, and we're meeting with Tetra Tech February 28th, and the people we know Tetra Tech well, they've helped us with our capital project that we're just finishing up, and they're going to be able to help us with acquiring, once we decide which way we're going to go with all these projects, acquiring RFPs and doing that kind of research and laying out options for us. So that's something I think we would have help with from the professionals.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, moving on. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda are hereby approved: minutes, CSEs, and PSE recommendations.
Motion.
Eric? Need a second?
Second.
April? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Eric? Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda, appointments and retirements, are hereby approved.
Motion.
Eric?
Second.
Leonard? Is that Leonard?
Yes, that's it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, miscellaneous. Recommend to the voters of the district at the annual district meeting on May 20th, 2014, the following proposition. Proposition bus purchases. To purchase 3 new 65-passenger school buses, 1 new 45-passenger school bus with wheelchair station, and 1 new 12-passenger van. The total cost, not to exceed $472,500, shall be raised by a tax on the taxable property of the school district to be collected in annual installments and to issue obligations, therefore, in accordance with the education law and local finance law, and offset by the trade, auction, or sale of 5 current buses. As part of the district's ongoing replacement plan, this purchase enables the district to obtain a potential state reimbursement rate of approximately 72.4%. Leonard?
Second.
Roll call.
Eric Anderson?
Yes.
April Bingo?
Yes.
Andrew Brockway?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Michael Hagedorn?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Debbie Passanen?
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Okay. Do we have any to discuss?
I think we should make a motion on that one.
Okay. Has everyone read through the next part of your recommendation? Or do I need to read this whole thing? Recommend the adoption of the following notice of annual district election, budget notice, and bus proposition.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you. Who was the second, Andrew? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carried. Recommend the adoption of the Board of Education Recognition Program Form.
Motion. Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
That was Kathy who seconded. I'm sorry, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, D. Resolve that the Board of Education nominate a person as a candidate for the CBES Board of Education. Do you have any motion there?
I will make a motion to nominate Ed Marin.
As a candidate for the CBES Board of Education for 3-year term of office from July 1, 2014 to June 30, 2017. Any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Second?
Second. Okay, was there a second? I'm sorry, I thought. No, did you check? What's up? Leonard. Okay. Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Andrew Rockway.
Yes.
Matthew Buckley.
Yes.
Michael Hagedorn.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Ed Marin. Debbie
Patno. Yes.
Colin Stone.
Congratulations, Ed. You're representing us well, so far. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions on this consent agenda are hereby approved. Policies.
Motion.
Eric?
Second.
Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion?
Yeah, just real
quick. Okay.
Just to clarify that this is the second reading, not the actual adoption, correct? And just for the board, I know I talked to Eric and Mr. Mannix, but it would be really helpful to the Board of Education, especially since this does have an impact on many students, just to get input from the students themselves and to get input from the teachers, students' policy, you know, kind of effects. Put that out there. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
So, are we passing these here, or is this the second hearing?
This is the second hearing. Okay. So then next time we'll have.
Okay. It's written down
that
the second
hearing.
It's
fine.
Second reading
is
option.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
That's where I need it as well.
So, second
fine. The second fine.
Okay.
So we know that the policy doesn't take effect until we're going to stay with the standard course of action until next year. We know that we have that with students and teachers and counselors over this policy. We can circle back. Some of the areas we have addressed, some other areas are still a concern. We'll circle back, and if we need to have a revision through the policy committee, we will. We certainly have time on our side to do that. So sorry about any confusion.
Brad, did you have any specific questions?
I was wondering if that was one of what's your concern about it?
I was talking over to some students from all grade levels, and some just had differing inputs on the honor rankings and they're at the honor roll. High honor roll, as well as the commencement speakers at graduation. There was some differing inputs, and that's what I just wanted to put out there. Some students and some teachers don't actually agree with everything in this policy.
Well, how are we collecting these specific concerns? Would they come to you so that you can submit them?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
How are we gathering these concerns? How can you gather these from your peers so that you can bring them to us so that specifically we know what the questions are?
How can I? I can use the suggestion box, post a question for them on the announcements, and have them fill out a paper real quick and drop it in, or I can just go around from class to class asking on this thing. So I can email you guys as well. It's a quicker process than waiting for another meeting.
And then we should probably file a complaint possibly and adopt it. You can bring those to Principal Palazzo and we'll work through the process.
Okay. So that being said, and so that we're clear, the way that I read this tonight as well is that this is final reading and we're asking for approval of these policies. So we can always, if we find something that's a point of concern, or that we think that we need to change down the road, readdress them at the policy committee level and bring back.
Right. And I'll give you an example. We had discussed some of the concerns. We had multiple discussions where we went through we posted the policy meetings and we had multiple discussions. That's not to exclude anything. We value certainly what Bradley was saying in his comments. That's why we need a meeting right here at the time. One of the aspects is kind of, you can't have both ways. One is an issue where they would like to address the way our grading policy, correct me if I'm wrong, but our grading policy, there's game
without weighting the grades, there's a gain inherent in that, that some students may take lower level courses to raise their GPA so they can become one of the speakers at the MS, because that's a prestigious, you know, position that people aspire to. But the other piece is what they would like to also have to be just the first one with the highest GPA and the second highest GPA, because right now our policy, they like to have the person with the highest GPA and the second highest GPA be the speaker. Those people could easily gain the system. Under what we have now is, if you gain the system, there's still no assurance that you're going to be a speaker, because you're going to take the top five, I believe, and then be able to vet how we choose to, how we select who speaks at the ceremony. So we're concerned that if we make it the top two, and we're not going to wait grades, because we had that discussion numerous times, then they're not, that other issue is still there. So we're trying to take it out, the top two issue, not the weight issue. So I don't know.
Can I just clarify something real quick?
Sure.
Most of what you said was accurate, from what you perceived from me.
Could you move that?
Is that better? So most of the things that Mr. Manchester said was accurate that I perceived from me. One thing I just want to clarify is the first and second students with the highest GPA wouldn't be the ones speaking. They would have the option first, because that's like the only time that they are able to get recognized. For the 4 years of hard work, I mean, they have like athletics and papers and all of the schools and announcements here and stuff. But the people who work the hardest, that's their only time that they get recognized is the first. They have the option to speak. If they don't want to speak, then they can pass it down to the election process. And that's just one of the solutions that some of my peers have come up with.
Yes. Appreciate the input. So, all right, we have a motion and we have a second. Is there any more discussion? You look like you have a question.
Well, what is the, is there harm in pushing it back if there are people that are concerned that didn't know this was scheduled for final reading tonight? Pushing it back to the next meeting, do we have to adopt it tonight, or can we table it?
We could table this one particular one. I mean, it seems to me that we have a policy meeting coming up very soon, and we can make sure that we address it before the next board meeting. So that way we at least because we effectively we don't plan on some of these one of the components, especially the speakers, we weren't going to implement it this year anyway. So we have time. I mean, that's part of the reason when we went through this whole process, we knew that we had time, and that's why we could fit in as many meetings as we had. And I think if we, one extra meeting is probably the better way to handle it than adopting it right this second. And then advising. It would be better to maybe think about those. And then it's not to say that we may ultimately decide that this is the way we like it. And this is what we're going to bring forward to the board, but I think it's, since it's not a pressing one, it's not like one that we have to have in. If we didn't have it in this month, that we're somehow falling behind, I think it makes sense for us to just hold off.
Since we have this together on a consent agenda, do we have to table them both?
No.
Maybe not.
I think we just amend the motion to not include
the table.
So do you want to do so?
Yeah, I'll amend the motion not to include the academic ranking and recognition policies that is in for law.
I'll second
it. No, I think it's Andy. So who knows? Andy has to approve that. Because you seconded it, you have to, you also have to agree, I think, correct?
Okay. Is it to table it or to not recommend it? Is that
to table?
Sure, to table it?
Yeah, table it. There it is, back.
Okay, to table it, so.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Good question. So our meeting coming up is Monday, right? So
mentioning that, because if we're going to get some feedback, it would be good to get it before the meeting. Just to make sure we're clear, because this is not a variables. That's why I want you to know that it's been addressed very thoughtfully. But it would be bad if you get some students' perspectives and opinions, right? So if you could get some feedback for us, certainly by our meeting on Monday morning, right? You know?
Monday, 9 a.m., correct? Monday morning, 9 a.m.
Yes.
Okay. Depending on the school that we have, try and get that to you on Monday.
And if it's not there by Monday, it's not like we're not going to read our emails. We're not going to you know, it's not a drop dead deadline. It would just be obviously the most helpful would be if we had it before then. But if we don't, then we can at least we'll definitely put it on the agenda just to at least for us to discuss it. Sure. If it happens, then we'll discuss that.
I'll try my best.
All right.
Thanks.
Now we need a motion to approve the other policy.
No, we just approved the tabling, and now we already had a motion for the other one. We just have to approve.
Okay. All right. So the original motion and the answer still stand. So motion to approve the use of surveillance cameras on school property was made by Eric, seconded by Andrew. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that we straightened that out. Consent agenda financial. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education that the following resolutions in this consent agenda are hereby approved. And this pertains to the transfers, audit reports, warrant reports.
Motion.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Eric Anderson.
Yes.
April Bingo.
Yes.
Andrew Brockway.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Michael Heidelhorn.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Debbie Patino.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Additional items to discuss. Beekman Town varsity baseball team trip to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Just got more policy. Sometimes it's supposed to be our events. Don't receive the approval by the Board of Education, but the reason possible is that's the state that they're going outside of certain business at least approval, certainly at state. So it's completely fundraised, and there's no expense, to the district or the team. Our students are going to our beach to actually get out some grass and play some ball, and they can get your approval.
So do we have to make a motion? Let's make a motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Real quick. I have three other items. But voting on the budget, there's been an issue in the past with students voting on the budget or teachers discussing the budget with the students. I think it's important that our students be allowed or even encouraged. This is my recommendation, to allow or encourage to vote on the budget as a civic duty and responsibility. Encouraging that is really important. I do think that our teachers should be encouraged to vote on the budget as well. I've done that and I've sat down. I don't think that our teachers should encourage our students to vote in a specific way. If there's a student that really believes that our budget is incorrect for whatever reason, we shouldn't try to sway them one way or another and make up in their household. So with that being said, I hope that the board could support the notion that we're going to encourage our students that are eligible to vote. We're not
occurs in Powell. And likewise, it occurs our teachers who live in the district of all. And we're going to state to our teachers that I did at the high school meeting is we don't want to try to persuade our students to vote in this particular way. Let that come from their own beliefs, information, and from their own beliefs for these five meetings.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I know that there has been some discussion in some years past and some disagreement with having students vote potentially during the school day. We have seniors who are 18 years of age, and encouraging them to take part in their civic responsibility I think is important. And as long as they're not being led in any particular direction, I have no issue with that whatsoever. I think it's a great place to start exercising that right. We should encourage it.
So we'll do our job as administrators and make sure that everybody understands where we are and what we all have to do. Broadcast it to the students, broadcast it to the teachers. Okay. And then honor here to co-nominate with President Passino the utilizing the first Board of Education recognition program, nominate five different employees, Garth Bichette, Principal Lane Dixon Cross, Principal Amy Campbell, Assistant Middle School Principal Brittany Tarabendis, and Special Education Teacher Nellie Trombley, for their effort going above and beyond for reinstituting, reintroducing the spelling bee for our students. I'll give you a quick little story. I was at a basketball game, a very important third grade basketball game in Moores, New York, and a towering fourth grader came running in on a Saturday morning, smiling from ear to ear because he finished second in fourth grade at Cumberland spelling bee. He was very proud of that, and his parents were too, rightly so. And then we took the winners from our spelling bee, all of the seniors, and it was quite a process. And those five individuals traveled to Mariah on Friday night and supported our students. And Beattown, for reintroducing this program, was all over the program. So it's a program that people got to view. And one of our students did finish in the top five, and it's super competitive. So in recognizing them, I wanted to point out that they reintroduced the regional spelling bee competition to our students and for our families, They volunteered their time, and they also sought out volunteers. That's an initiative and a goal of the Board of Education. And how did their contribution show dedication and concern above and beyond? Along with the hours of dedication and work that went into the reintroduction of the program, these administrators can travel tomorrow on Friday night to support our students. And without them, or basically, they made, you know, in a small way, our school, a better school. And it happens all the time, but they're going to be the first recipients of this nice certificate that was created by Joanne today. So I just wanted to hand over two of those certificates to our nine principals who are still here. So they can come up just for a second.
We thank the Academy. Amy and I would also like to recognize Sharon Carlin and Piper Bruce for all the work they did with our school level B. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Does anyone else have something they'd like to bring up at this portion?
Well, I didn't hear anything about our sports program. Where our people ended up? Anybody got nothing to report on that?
Our sports program, I fear with discussing our sports program is because we'll leave one of our teams out if all of the performance at a high level. Our girls and boys bowling won sectionals. Our boys finished, I believe it was our boys that finished third in state, the highest ever from any section 17. Our girls hockey team went to the final four. Our boys hockey team went to the final four, won a game, went to the championship game. I was there. It was a phenomenal game. They ran into quite a player and actually got to play the team in the second two periods. Our girls basketball team lost one game during the regular season. They ended up losing to that team in sectional finals, but they won their overall CDAC champions. And there's probably some other teams. Our wrestling team exceeded expectations. They're young. They exceeded expectations. They beat one of the rivals in Peru, so they probably weren't expecting Santa and Karen today this year. But the most important is all that I did put in, it will be in the Concussion Publican, is the number of our teams that won all-state recognition for academic excellence is phenomenal. But we have, and we'll put that in the weekly update, but we have so many teams this season and last season that when you combine their averages are above 90, and that's just phenomenal. So if I forgot a team, you know, I don't like going with the teams, because then you have the Model UN kids and the bowling awards, and just as talking to Mr. Mauer, all of our students keep being recognized for absolutely everything, whether it's music, Model UN, sports, and it's just makes you proud to be part of us.
Anyone else? Yep.
Just two things. I got to ask everybody. On the CDTech thing, thank you. Appreciate the confidence. And even that will do on the board. But I do want to message to the administrators. At least from my point, I don't get enough really questions or anything with regards to CDTech, and I'm opening the door to more of that. And I know that you have your venues, the administration, and with CDTech, but sometimes maybe some of your concerns may not be completely addressed. And I know that Mr. Madison and myself from the board side, we might be able to have a stronger effect into some of your needs. So keep that up. Anything you need, you want to know about, or you'd like to see changed, we should even talk about it. We're very open there. And then we got several reservations and requirements of that kind of thing. And we're trying to implement an exit program. We're really sitting with that.
We have some areas in there that could use some tweaking, so I'm hoping maybe before the next regular board meeting we can talk about reconvening and looking through what we have along with what Mr. Mannix has and doing some work on the first year that we implemented that program. For a moment, you know, we came to the conclusion that we were at the last meeting. given some of the circumstances presented to us, I do agree that it was probably the right decision for the time and for the information that we had, and given that we couldn't carve out some of the pieces that were of concern. That all being said, though, there was a lot of discussion about having dialogue and discourse with our retiree folks, and I'm looking at a much smaller audience at this meeting than what we've seen at the last several. I'm hoping that now that this decision hasn't gone a particular way, that we're not going to lose that segment of folks in our process as we move forward, because I do still believe that with the Medicare supplement buyout possibilities and some other items that were brought up for discussion, that there are still options available, and we need to have a collaborative effort to make those things happen. But I think that right now the ball's back in our court, so we have to talk about how we can move forward with that. So we're going to continue to have those discussions.
We're working on that. We'll be bringing it up.
Anything else? Okay. Do we have an executive session tonight?
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Public comment again. We will open up to the floor to public comment. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to present to the board? 10 minutes. Going twice. Okay. No public comment at this time. Looks like we will be entering into executive session. So we saw the Board of Education appoint Eric.
I'll make a motion.
As clerk pro tem. Eric, make a motion.
Second.
April 2nd. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we need a motion to enter into executive session.
I'll make a motion.
Need a second?
Yep.
And the motion is to discuss the employment history of a particular person, and that's it?
Is that all? Will there be any activity afterwards?
There will not be any activity afterwards.
And there's no other topic, just a particular person?
There's
no other
person.
Okay, so persons. To discuss particular history of particular persons. Okay, all in favor?
Who was seconded?
Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Can we take a 5-minute break?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Oh my gosh, I have to do that.